Only two of them left, so they're both gone.
Yeah, I mean, that wasn't really a surprise that they, with every growing pick, I'm like, yeah, it's really looking like one and or both of the quarterbacks could be in play for the Steelers at number 20 here.
Yeah, I don't have the draft order, so I'm not really sure who needs what. But the Panthers kept rumoring around they were going to take Pickett, but they went with the left tackle from North Carolina State, which I'm not going to try and pronounce his name. So, which is a solid pick. I mean, the guy's a monster.
Yes.
They've desperately needed a left tackle in this town for years. So.
Yeah, it's. I never bag on anyone taking an offensive lineman.
No. Nope. So we'll have a nice, easy show today. Because believe me, if the Lions had skipped Aiden Hutchinson, I would just lost my mind. Like, it's the same shit over and over again. And I actually told her, if, because I have my laptop, like, in my lap.
Yeah.
And I just said, if they don't take Aiden Hutchinson, I'm throwing my laptop at the wall. And she looks at me, she goes, just put your laptop down, please. So, I was like, yeah, that's a good idea. I was actually going to, but I was like, that's a good idea. So. Well, the Commanders. I keep forgetting they changed their name.
Oh, did they just trade down to and give their pick to New Orleans?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
So, and this is cracking me up this year. They've got these kids in another city, apparently. That walk from the green room, they stop with their hat on and mug for the camera, and then come out, and it's like, they've got a 5-minute walk just to get to the stage. Like, God damn.
Yeah. Oh, and I had to laugh that the one guy made a wrong turn and walked away from the stage.
I missed that. Really? That's great.
Yeah.
I mean, I can understand why.
Yeah, and then I ended up seeing.
This thing has evolved so fast.
Well, it's been a party. Even if it's only been in New York, there's been a real party vibe to it for a while now.
Yeah, but I'm talking like the pomp and circumstance and all this. Like the green room, they've got like LED boards. They're stopping when they're like taking selfies. They got like signage all over. Before it was like the most famous one, Aaron Rodgers sitting by himself. At a card table with a shitty tablecloth on it, and now they've got like a whole backstage area where there's cameras everywhere. They're taking this and this, and then hey, time to go. And it's like,
well,
in a few years, boy, they nailed it.
I think they had to do that because of how many people started staying at home for the draft. I feel like they needed it to be more enticing.
I don't know. I don't know how I'd react, but it's like, if you know you're going to go number one, or at least if you know you're going to the top five, I'd say one or ten, I guess, but I'd want to be there. You know, the culmination of everything through school and that, like, get something.
Oh.
But at the same time, some of these guys don't care. So they're like, yeah, cool, it's a job. I'm going to do a job now.
Yeah.
So I mean, it really is.
I mean, I'm sitting there, and I know that it is a little bit different, but it's just like, nah, that's okay. Graduation's cool and all, but I'm going to get drunk instead.
Yeah.
You know.
See, I put in all the hard work. I should be able to act the way I want. So,
I guess I can understand staying at home, and I can also understand going. Like,
yeah.
I almost did those shenanigans.
Was it a joke? Wasn't it Joe Thomas of the Browns? Didn't he? He didn't even have his phone on him. He was out. I think it was Joe Thomas. He was out fishing. He was like, "I'm getting drafted. Who cares? I have no choice who I'm getting drafted by, so I just went fishing."
Oh.
So when he got home, he found out the Browns called you. It was. I think it was him. But there was definitely like a top 10-15 draft pick that just went fishing.
Yeah, I will say that that sounds on brand for him.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. Because he's right. Because Elise even asked, they don't get a choice in this, do they? I was like, no. I mean, you can try and leverage yourself like Elway did.
And well, and I was Thomas number one?
Yeah. Yeah, Hutchinson went number two.
No. For the Browns, Joe Thomas.
I don't know. Yeah, sorry, I got mixed up. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, I want to say that he was maybe like three or something like that. I don't know if he was number one necessarily.
Yeah. Yeah, he said, I know I'm getting drafted, so what's the point?
Yeah, I mean,
enjoy my life before I have to go play football.
He does have a point, you know. And I guess if you don't want the pomp and circumstance, because I mean, still there was still the commissioner hug, there is still the photo op. You know, they're definitely doing things a bit different these days, though.
Yeah. So is the booing of the commissioner just tradition now? Like, are people still really hating on Roger Goodell?
I don't know.
You know. Because they started booing. As soon as they announced it, Roger Goodell, everyone started booing. And he actually came out going, come on, Vegas, come on. And I'm like, is he encouraging them, or is he trying to be like, come on, guys, don't do that?
No, I think he does kind of like the boos. Like, I feel like he's just like, okay, whatever, if I'm the heel, I'm the heel, and he just works with it. Yeah.
I'm trying to see something here real quick.
So I guess I don't blame him for leaning into it. At this point,
do you know why he doesn't care, by the way?
Because he's employed and making a shit ton of money.
He has $63 million a year reasons. What? That can't be right. That can't be right. He can't get paid. He gets paid $63 million a year.
Yeah, you know, sure. How many billions?
The players, they can't. What's the salary cap? Hang on a second.
How many billions of dollars does the NFL bring in? Like, capital B, billions?
The salary cap is $208 million. This guy's basically 28%, 29% of a salary cap, right?
63? No, that'd be 24. So he, and what was the salary cap? So he's a little under a quarter. He'd be in the 20, you know, like low 20s somewhere.
Motherfucker can't throw a football.
Maybe 19%, something.
He can't tackle. I guarantee he can't punt the ball. He's making 60, for what? What does the commissioner of the NFL do?
He makes billions of dollars, and all these people get paid. They sold tickets for this event. They've, like you said, like they've turned this into an event, like a money making event. You know, that's what he's getting paid for. I mean, they have really turned this into quite a circus, and it's impressive.
Oh my god, $63 million to wear a suit.
Yeah, it is crazy.
His ideas aren't his. He's just the guy who goes, okay.
Yeah.
He's employed. Isn't he the guy that's employed? Like, the NFL commissioner is employed by the owners.
Correct.
Where Major League Baseball is an independent guy, right? I think.
I don't know.
Whatever. Yeah. I that's just absurd. $63 million for this, but.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm not really defending it, but I'm just defending it for kicks. That's a shit ton of money for any job.
Yeah. So and the 25. They had $15 billion in revenue in 2019. So,
not too bad. They're trying
to get $25 billion in revenue by 2027.
Yeah. I mean,
oh, and there goes the final wide receiver for Ohio State. New Orleans.
And
who I thought would have gone first. Huh. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Wow.
This is, this is getting interesting. Because I felt like New Orleans was one of the rumored possible quarterback teams.
Well, Jameis Winston was doing fairly well until he got hurt, though.
Did they keep him? I'm not sure.
The Lions moved up.
I'm not sure.
The Vikings traded their pick to the Lions. All right. Wow. All right. I mean, it's still not going to matter. I mean, all these guys just go somewhere else and win a Super Bowl like everyone else does, but...
Oh, man.
The funny thing is, I don't even mean Stafford. Like, that one hurts the worst. But, like, they traded Kevin Vannoy to New England.
Oh.
The year they traded him, he won the Super Bowl immediately. And it's just like, Ndamukong Suh, he left, but he won a Super Bowl now.
Oh.
Like, all these really good players. It's like poor Calvin Johnson and Barry Sanders just got fucked.
Yes, they did. Yeah, Barry Sanders is under that one of the greatest to never win the a championship. Him and Dan Marino are just sitting over there.
Yeah. Marino's always the first one. You know, whenever it comes to the person that didn't win the big one, it's Marino for football, Charles Barkley for basketball.
Oh.
I don't know. Baseball always seems like someone always weasels their way into winning one.
Yeah, I don't know who it would be for baseball at this point.
Yeah, I mean, Ray Bourque even won his with Avalanche.
Yeah.
He would have never won one.
Because what, did Patrick Marleau retire finally?
Yeah, but didn't he win with...
No.
He didn't?
Nope.
Oh, wow, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, so he... I know that he'd be there. I think Thornton is still hanging on. I might be wrong.
Yeah, Thornton, I think, was in Toronto last night.
Yeah, I think he's still in Toronto. Oh, QB1. Wondering if the Lions are going to go for a little Pittsburgh flavor here.
Boy, Jared Goff's got to be like, really?
Oh, man.
See, I'm actually like, you know what? Just stay with Goff, build around, and then get somebody. Because there's really no top quarterbacks in this draft.
Yeah.
That's fine.
That's you know? One of the reasons why I was just like, everyone kept on talking about it from Jump Street that no one thought the quarterback class was strong, but everyone's like, well, if you need a quarterback, though, you got to take Pickett, and like everyone that wanted a quarterback is like, nah, that's okay.
Well, don't go to the Athletic because they already have the pick. How did they know?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, don't worry about your quarterback pick. It's not...
Yeah, well, that's the other thing that's interesting.
What kind of a delay is this?
Yeah, I mean, they still haven't announced the pick. It's... I mean, I don't know how long. They have put up the pick is in, and I feel like you still get, like, a full minute before the pick is actually announced. Or more. Like, I haven't stopwatched it. So I'm not completely sure.
Like Royal Rumble?
Probably. It's just like never a consistent time. It just keeps on whatever keeps things entertaining.
Wow, they gave up a lot for this pick. they have a shit ton of picks in this draft, though, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
All right, so they're not going 32nd now, so the Lions are done. All right.
Still 2 for 3. I mean, that's not so bad.
Yeah, no, it's fine. But they got out of the 32nd spot to come up all the way up here, so... Huh. Curious to see if this is right.
And the Detroit Lions select.
Wow, a wide receiver. So I guess Jared Goff's like, okay.
Oh, man.
This is the kid that got hurt, right?
I and think so, him. Yeah. Yeah.
He was a stud before he got hurt.
Yep. And I mean... I guess to me, like, it's one thing if you are coming off a knee injury. It's another thing if you have a history of them. You know what I mean?
Dude, all right, this is funny. Sorry, I didn't mean to blow off what you said.
No.
I refreshed the Athletic draft, the updated draft thing for the Athletic. The pick, like, they took the pick down. And now it's back to be Minnesota's pick. And it's not like they had this Jameson Williams pick up for about 10 minutes, and now that they actually did make the pick, it's not here anymore. So somebody had some insider shit. And they're like, "Hey, dumbass."
Oh man! Whoops. Hey. Yep. It's, yeah, this is, because that's why I was just like, I'm not even sure that the Steelers should pick a quarterback, but I feel like all indications seem to be that they are leaning that way, you know what I mean? I would be okay if they, especially since some of the other good defensive players are still on the board, I would not be offended if they picked a defensive player. At all.
Well, I mean...
Like, the top safety is still available. The top, what... Oh, everyone thought that Jordan Davis for Georgia, the tackle. It does feel like the Steelers need some help on the defensive line. That would be an awesome pick. That's why I'm kind of fascinated with the Steelers pick. Like, there's... I think that they're going to go one way, but they do have quite a few options depending upon what's going on.
When did they pick 20th, you said?
20, yeah.
Nice, so we've got a while then.
Cause, and I'm
they're like, yeah, this draft's going pretty quick. We had the first 8 picks, and I look, it was 9:07. I was like, oh my God, there's 3 hours of this left.
Oh, that was part of the thing that the wife was freaking out about. She's like, oh my God, this is on until midnight? And I'm like, yeah, the Bengals will probably pick around like 11:30.
Yeah.
She's just like, what? And I was just like, yeah, man, this thing's been on... I mean, if nothing else, this has been on TV for a while now. Like, it feels like second nature for me to A, watch it, and B, do a podcast dirt while watching it. Like, that was, yeah, when Ken and I were doing, we did 2 or 3 OPAs during the draft, and we tried to kind of make a point of doing it today.
Man, I hate the draft because I'm, like, as a Lions fan... It's like, okay, cool, look at all the potential. And then it just goes, okay, whatever. You know, it'd be nice if the Lions picked, and I was like, you know what, I'll just set an alarm and wake up at 11:20. You know how refreshing that would be? Just once. Or just go, who cares? They have the last pick in the draft, and it wasn't via trade. Who cares? The Lions ever won the Super Bowl. One, whatever. Two, I'm never watching football again. There's no point. There's absolutely no point. Cool. Pittsburgh could go for their 7th ring. So? So what? Just the first would be nice. Just one. That's it. And then I can run off the trifecta. Or not trifecta, but then everyone's won a championship. They're the only holdouts. Michigan won football, basketball, hockey. Tigers won the World Series in 84. Pistons, a bunch of NBA championships.
Oh, yeah.
Wings, obviously. And then there's the... Even the Michigan Panthers, the original USFL Michigan Panthers, won the USFL championship the first two seasons in a row.
Oh. Was not aware of that. The original USFL, I would have taken it.
Yeah. Yep. Bobby Aber was their quarterback.
Oh, yeah, well.
They were big shit.
That,
They were kids, but yeah, the USFL was gigantic.
That was probably a good reason why they won. I remember Mr. Hebert. He had a pretty big arm for the day.
I think it was Hebert. Was it Anthony Carter on the team from Michigan? I may be wrong on that one. But anyways, yeah. I'm trying to think who else. Like, they used to have a soccer team, an indoor soccer team that won.
Oh.
And there's the Lions just fucking their own foot. Like, what are you doing? In a league that is set up so that your team becomes good eventually by no fault of your own, the Lions can't do it.
Yeah, they have really managed to stay bad for... It's been a while. I mean, because if you're... I know that there were some good non-Barry Sanders years, but there haven't been very many between then and now.
Well, they fired Jim Caldwell for going 10-6 and 9-7 and making the playoffs. Or blowing it and missing the playoffs. Then they pull in fucking Matt Patricia, who, by the way, New England's defense still isn't good. But he's supposed to be a defensive guru or genius.
No.
Can someone explain to me how a team that gives up 35, 40 points a game is a good defense? I'm confused by this. I'm utterly confused. So they fire a guy who won games, whose players apparently loved him. And then it's just been shit. So I don't think Dan Campbell's going to be the answer, but I think it sounds like they've got a decent front office for a change.
Yeah, so who knows? I mean, it seems like some solid picks here to start the night off.
Yeah, and for a bunch of players that won't be in the league in a few years, they weren't horrible. They weren't good. They were in some games, but they weren't terrible, so that's nice. So. And I can just stop caring about this shit again. After the first few games of the season, I don't care.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a fascinating one for. See what. Even if the Steelers do pick a quarterback, I would still assume that Mitch Trubisky is probably the starting quarterback next year.
For who?
For the Steelers.
Mitch Trubisky is with the Steelers?
Yeah.
I knew he was in Chicago. I didn't realize.
Yeah, well, he went to Buffalo and was the backup to Josh Allen last year. And he had only signed a one-year deal, so he came to the Steelers on a two-year deal, knowing full well that he would at least have a shot at starting quarterback, unlike backing up Josh Allen, because you're definitely going to be a backup there.
Yeah, no kidding. Wow, I didn't know that. Well, hey, good for him. Get your job. So.
I mean, he's had some good stats. We'll see if anything changes, I suppose, in that regard. That's the other reason why I'm not completely sold on the quarterback pick. But, yeah, I mean, again, kind of getting down there with only... Yeah, how long has this pick been in for the Eagles? I feel like it's been roughly a half an hour. Although, whatever. Like, yeah, they've turned this into such a spectacle thing. Like, just, yeah. It's fun to deal with, I suppose. But yeah, let's see what the Shahid's Eagles do here, I suppose.
Probably need a quarterback.
Yeah, I well, no, they had Jalen Hurts last year. They seemed to stick with him for a while.
Yeah, they stuck with him, that's for sure. So, but for two guys whose team doesn't have a quarterback, it's pretty easy to goof on somebody else's. So, come on, just say the picks when we start our fucking show here.
Oh, we already started. We started the show a long time ago.
Oh, no, I know, but I meant like the wrestling part because that's just some big news out of Impact. Nope. So,
oh, Jordan Davis off the table. Okay, well, yep. Yeah. That was the one that I'd hoped maybe would fall to the Steelers. I'm glad. He was also rumored for Baltimore. I'm glad Baltimore's not
That's
getting
military
him.
Garb. The hell is that? That is run up.
Yeah, like he has
Man,
a...
I don't, I've never known fashion, all right? I'm just going to say it right now.
He has a built-in sash. It's a look. I'm not sure that I like it.
It doesn't go around the back.
Yeah. I would like it a little bit more if it went around the back.
And he just hugged like Mini Huggy Bear or something.
Yeah, I did like that. The Mini Huggy Bear suit was pretty nice.
Yeah, it was pretty nice. So
I'll bag on one suit and compliment another.
Yeah, it's like I see people wear stuff like that, and I'm like, I can't pull that shit off. But then I pulled a bow tie off, and I was like, oh, maybe I'm underestimating myself. I thought it looked like a goddamn idiot wearing a bow tie. I was pissed. I'm like, why are we doing this? And then I put it on, I was like, oh, not so bad actually. So
yeah, still have yet to wear. The wife got me a. Peppermint bow tie, but I haven't taken the time to watch a video to figure out how to tie a bow tie.
Okay, so I had to wear one for my buddy Brent's wedding, and instead of just getting clip-on bow ties, which would make much more sense, they got us real bow ties. We all looked at each other and go, anyone know how to do this? No. So we had to get on YouTube and figure it out. It's not easy. You know what's easy? Have the bow tie already made and have a little thing that goes around your neck and you just hook it on and all of a sudden you got a bow tie on. Wait, what's the problem? So yeah, we were bitching. Because we're supposed to just be relaxed before the wedding, the ceremony and all that stuff. No, we're like frantically trying to figure out how to do this. This was the same wedding where they wanted us to learn the Thriller dance. So we could do it during the, not rehearsal, reception.
That's a lot.
It was a joke. Oh yeah, Brent told me that, and I was like, oh, okay, whatever, blew him off. Well, all of a sudden, we show us, like, oh, are you guys ready to do the Thriller dance? And I'm like, wait, you were serious? I was like, of course not. I don't know, I have no idea how to do the Thriller dance. I'm not six, I don't like that song, let alone watch the video. So yes, we had to do a Thriller dance. None of the guys knew what we were doing. So I just yelled, every man for themselves. And we just start jumping around. The girls weren't real happy. We didn't care. And it came off a lot better. So I saved everything. That's the point of the story. So.
Oh,
yeah, speaking of saving stuff, I wish I wouldn't have seen this, but I've seen it, so it's too late. The Briscoes are an Impact now.
That is not completely surprising.
I was wondering what they were going to do, because they're not young. You know, they've been around. They've got a lot of mileage on those bodies.
Yeah.
But WWE wasn't going to take them. No chance.
Nope.
AEW said they didn't want them, or they weren't allowed to have them. I guess they could go to Japan, because Impact has a working relationship still, so I guess it makes sense.
Yeah, it does seem like the best domestic promotion for them, honestly.
Yeah. Yep.
But and, hey,
they'll work out. They'll work. They will work well in there. That's tough to say.
Yeah, because I've always I have been pretty bummed with the fact that Jay got that run as single as, you know, world champ there, and they never really gave him a second run as a singles wrestler.
Yeah, because didn't they have like a whole Jay Mark feud, and they made up, and then they were a tag team again.
Yeah. Yep. That's exactly what happened. It's just like, oh, okay. Like, I've, you know, even though they had to wrestle some new faces, it was still one of those things that they were wrestling sometimes just the same faces, but in different combinations. You know, it's like one other tag team had split up, but they had, you know, the opposites had become tag team partners for some reason or another. It's just like, these aren't really fresh matchups, guys, even though they're kind of fresh matchups.
They're fresh on paper, but not in execution.
Yeah.
Not sure. Yeah, but no, I was not expecting that. So, one thing, I don't know if you saw this yet, it's pretty fresh today. So, Athena, the former Ember Moon...
Yes.
She was talking about like her time. Did you read about any of this?
Oh,
what she said?
No. What were the contents there?
Okay. So she said, like, you know, she was kind of annoyed because she's in NXT, comes back, and Shotzi leaves. They call and said, "Don't be upset, but Shotzi's gonna call to SmackDown." And she's teaming with Tegan Knox. She's like, wait, what? So then she was supposed to turn heel. She shows up, and I'm going to get this messed up. But anyways, it was like she's supposed to do this, then she disappears for 3 weeks, 4 weeks. We even mentioned, where the hell did she go? Comes back. She's supposed to be on a losing streak. She loses, disappears. And then she was told that she's going to come back as Ember Moon, so she needs to redo her hair, like the original Ember Moon, all this stuff. And then I'm going through this fast. But then in the meantime, and I guess this had made the rounds, but no one would confirm it. And I guess she's confirming it now, that when they had a women's talent meeting where they were telling the women they needed to dress sexier like Mandy Rose does. Now, she was quick to point out, she loves Mandy Rose, likes Mandy Rose. She's talented and all this. This is not, like, ripping on her.
Right.
Her quote was like, "I'm not wearing fishnet booty shorts." She's like, "I appeal to kids." She's like, "I'm not doing this stuff." And it kind of goes to the greater thing of, like, she said, like, Hunter just disappears. No one told us what was going on. He's there, then he's not, and then these changes come in. And it's like, well, the changes are very clearly that it was Kevin Dunn and Vince McMahon's show. And all of a sudden, they're telling the women to be sexier. Haven't we been saying how this women's evolution is just, it's a lie? It's not true. And if this kind of proves it, they come in and tell the women they need to dress sexier. Instead of going, you need to work on your in-ring skills, you need to work on your promos. Now, you could say your appearance... Because, yeah, you don't want to look like a slob or, like, you know, just something stupid, right?
Well,
but
and
no, is very specific.
Yeah. I was completely okay with anything that Ember Moon wore.
Yes. Yeah.
So I'm not necessarily sure that I'm like, she needs to dress sexier? Like, I don't know. That's okay, sure. I suppose. Like, I don't know what your definition is here, sir.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely. And I think we talked about it, like, until Vince is really out of there, the women have definitely gotten more time on TV.
Right.
But that's not a whole lot, you know, like, it's more, but the men still are way heavier in time than the women. And really, although
it still goes back to main eventers, Sasha, Charlotte, Becky, Ronda Rousey. And then you add the other people in. So maybe Bianca will get there one day. Maybe Rhea will finally get there again.
I think Bianca's second win here at WrestleMania is pretty cementy. As far as...
Well, I mean, but the big tell will be if they decide to do another women's main event, say it's Bianca and Piper Niven. We'll just go, Piper Niven, I'm going to say Niven. All right? I know that's kind of far-fetched, but...
Yeah, that's a just main use event, it as then a name.
Sure, I'll give you that. But I'm not... If it's Bianca and Charlotte, no. The only reason it's there is because of Charlotte. Or Sasha, I guess Bailey, but whenever if she ever comes back. So
yeah, I mean that one's definitely still kind of hanging out there. It's it's interesting to see what happens because I mean I'm still, even though Asuka has not changed her character at all, it's good to have her back.
Yeah, they needed a fresh face, but it's like, also, where the hell is Piper Niven? She get hurt?
Oh, she lost to everyone. Like, that's one where you kind of need a rebuild if you're going to do something with her. Did she have a championship match against Bianca, and then she had the feud with Bianca after Bianca lost the belt and lost that? Yeah. Pretty resoundingly. And then she lost a couple other matches after that. Like, there are definitely a lot of lost potential just in getting women's faces on TV. You know? Because, she's one of them. Like, there's treating someone like Dana Brooke, I suppose, is a good example of she has found her way on TV competing for the 24/7 championship. You know, I think everyone has realized that she's never going to be the best wrestler. And I'm being generous with that description. But she's found a role for herself. At least on TV. They definitely have not found that for... Well, A, it took her how many years to find consistent TV time? Probably 6-7 years at this point? On the main roster? She had these little pushes here and there, but this is really her first sustained, like, over multiple months run.
Yeah.
So, not a lot of the women have broken through on, on that type of a level. And, I definitely do feel like it's been more the writer's fault and just, them not being as interested in the evolution is sometimes the corporate speak goes for it.
Yeah. I mean, I think another tell of how dead the evolution thing was, there was the women's pay-per-view that was, I think, a sellout, and then also roundly praised for how good the show was. And what year was that? So there you go.
17, probably. That would be my guess.
That long ago?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely pre-pandemic, and I want to say that it's pre-pandemic by a decent chunk, so that's why I'm just throwing out there, and I guess now I'm interested enough. That's in the, I'll look it up.
October 28th, 2018, 10,900 people.
18, okay, I was a year off, not too bad.
But almost 11,000 people for an all-women's card. That's good.
Yeah. Well, and I guess that is kind of the other funny thing is many people is the WWE let go, women included, they still have enough to do more, you know? Shotzi Blackwell, Shotzi has been,
wherever she is.
Yeah. I mean, she's been posting on Instagram, so we know that she's still alive.
Yeah, they just have nothing for her. The classic, we have nothing for you.
Which... Yeah. Yeah, well, and that's, I guess that's the other reason why I'm, you know, the evolution thing is somewhat dead. Like, I don't know how, I've been fascinated with her for a long time. Like, and she seems to get the audience too, you know, involved in her matches. I don't know how you can't find something for that person.
How many, and it's my fault because I brought it up, but I'm going to say it this way. How many times have we talked about the old creative has nothing for you?
A lot.
You know, and the fact that, now, I guess the conversation's kind of changed because you can't just blame the writers anymore. Knowing that, you know, if Vince is in a bad mood, he won't put Piper Niven on TV for 7 months for no reason. You know, she didn't do anything wrong. He just decided, no, I don't want her on TV. You know? So it's not an exact indictment of the creative staff. Like, it's more of an indictment of Vince, Kevin Dunn, whoever.
Oh.
Should be, you know, more cognitive of the talent they have. And if someone goes, well, he's got a lot of irons in the fire, I don't care. You've chosen this, so you should be better at your job, to put it frankly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, especially to call people, like, even Walter said, I'm sorry, Gunther, said that they kind of knew something was going on, so they were ready. But that the call came in, and they said, hey, next week you're going up to SmackDown. And they had told Marcel that he's going to change his name, and he chose that name out of, like, the list, because, you know, they don't have the
– Oof.
So
– Man, I can't – I
but that's it.
That is wild that he looked at the list and went, this is the best option. Holy shit, how bad were the other choices?
He said there were three, and oh. I guess the Kaiser part of it is what drew him to it, because that was his dad's, if I'm getting this right, it was his dad's mentor or trainer.
Uh-oh.
Kaiserin or something like that.
Okay.
So he goes, you know what, of all these names, this is what I'm going to choose, you know?
Okay.
So... Like, what is Kaylee Ray's name now? Alba Fire?
Yes. It's not good.
I don't know. And it's like, but what kind of a name is that? Like, it's not a porn name. Or is it? Is it a stripper name?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could evoke American. Sci-fi. Was it American Gladiators that had a fire?
No, a fire was one of the Nitro Girls.
Oh,
the red-haired one.
Okay. Well, I felt like there was one on American Gladiators too. I definitely remember the Nitro Girl.
I'm sure there was. So let's see.
Yeah, the Alba Fire one, it doesn't even sound like a good...
Yeah.
Flame. Like, what'd you say?
Her name was Flame.
Flame. Oh, okay.
Wow. Holy shit. I'm sending you this. Oh, goddamn. Boy. You talk about, like, classic beauties. Woo. There you go. Just send it over to you. Oh, boy. I remember her. But that hair, it looks superimposed. That doesn't look natural, right? Her head is so small. Small and like just narrow.
It seems like the wrong era for when American Gladiator. Like, that is an 80s haircut. That had to have been the 90s. Well, shit, man. Maybe it was the 80s.
I believe American Gladiator was the 80s, yes. The original, yes.
Okay, yeah. And I can't believe they mentioned that she came back in 2008 to Gladiators. But, yeah.
That show was out from 89 to 96.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, that was one that I did. I loved it.
Oh yeah! Oh my god, that show was great. Did you? I mean, if you ever watch those old shows, do you realize how vicious they are?
Oh.
They're shooting tennis balls at you from like a little hand cannon. That hurts.
Yeah.
Like someone hits you with a tennis ball with a racket, it hurts.
Yeah, that stuff
cannons.
Yeah, they use like an air gun or something like that, and they're like, oh, it won't be that bad, and it's just like, what? No, that was like getting hit by, because if you didn't wear enough padding doing paintball, it stings. Like, it doesn't necessarily hurt, although I have heard people who breaking skin when they've had it contact their skin before.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, that's like getting hit with a paintball gun, except with a giant ass tennis ball.
Yes.
Yeah, that had to have been very uncomfortable.
Well, I mean, like, they used to do the jousting thing, but then remember they had the one where you had the ball and you had to run by them and try and stuff it in like the basket. It wasn't basketball.
Oh, but, yes.
And they would just jack your shit up.
Yeah, that was what we might have called back in the day, smear the gay slur.
Smear the queer, yeah. Who cares? That's queer. It's not a gay slur. Gay people call themselves queers all the time. It's not.
Yeah.
Idiots. So. Yeah, no. It kind of is like that. Well, in a way, yes. Because for those who don't know, smear the queer used to be there was a can. Well, that was kick the can. Oh, no, that was Smear the Queer, too, right?
Yeah, you just had a ball, and whoever had the ball, you were supposed to tackle them.
That's right.
Like, why did you ever want the ball? Like, I'm like, why did this work as a game, ever? Like, so much so that it has a name, and I know, like, pretty much everyone in my orbit has played some version of it. So,
yeah,
like,
but it's like, well, I guess
it's definitely out there.
You can just punt everybody. I was not blessed with that. So, I guess that's the joy of playing it. If you could just get the ball, take off, no one could catch you.
Yeah.
But, why was it called Smear the Queer?
Because it rhymed?
You know, okay. That's an acceptable excuse to me.
I don't know.
You're running back.
Yeah, I mean, that is pretty much what's happening. You are a running back, and everyone else is after you.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, no, I forgot. Kick the can was, you just set a can up, everyone hid, the other person had to find you and could call you out, and then they'd have to kick the can over before you, but you could sprint to kick it over before them. And people bitch about video games, and I'm like, I don't know.
Mm.
Seems like a fair trade.
Oh.
Of course, kick the can. It's really queer. You know, at least you're doing something athletic, I guess. So,
yeah.
Anyways.
We really went sideways from the Alba Fire talk.
Yeah. But yeah, it's the name changes stuff, whatever. But the big thing that goes back to it is like the lack of creative. To not have angles, issues, whatever for people. Like, The entire 24/7 title is created because Vince McMahon loves R-Truth. Or Ron Killings, whatever we want to call him. That's the only reason that exists. It's the only reason Tozawa was there. Reggie and any of them. And Dana Brooke has actually turned it into something, so God bless her. Because she's never really fit. They never really gave her like a proper try, I guess, as well. So.
Well, and what's her name even seems to be fitting in okay-ish. Like, Tamina has been an odd bird the whole time, too. They always tried to sell her size, but it's just like, guys, she hasn't beaten anyone ever. Like, we're just not buying this.
Yeah. That whole wedding thing was bad. Except for Dana Brooks dive off the ropes within the wedding dress. That was pretty baller.
I didn't mind. I was pretty amused with the whole do-si-do that they did right near the end.
I didn't understand it. Was she just being a pain in the ass?
Yeah. I don't know why she just wanted to test things out at the last second. I kind of got a kick out of it, I suppose. Little weird routine going on, just seeing the different combinations before settling back to the original combinations. You know, get a laugh, whatever. Yeah. Have at it. It wasn't the worst wedding that I've seen. It definitely wasn't the best either.
Well, it wasn't a wedding either. It was a commitment ceremony.
Yeah.
So they're all committed now. Whatever that means. So, okay, I don't know. Like the creative aspect of that, to not have something for a wrestler who was over as well. Like I guess one of the criminal ones was Naomi, but they're using her now. So cool. Whatever. It's creative. So who cares? It's never gonna change as long as the guy in charge doesn't change. And whether that's Kevin Dunn or Vince McMahon, it doesn't matter. If one changes,
the other's pretty much done.
If Kevin Dunn was the one that were to leave or whatever, I don't think Vince would really know what to do. That guy's been so involved and is so heavily influential about everything. You know, you rely on someone for so long. Because the writers are just interchangeable at this point. You put a chimpanzee, a chicken, and a ferret in there, and you'd still be able to have the 24/7 stuff.
I can't remember the last time I've actually heard a person's name on the creative staff. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I feel like it always used to be, oh, this name, that name, or even like this guy with, you know. Obviously, like Vince Russo, head writer, and then it was Brian Gerwitz, and then, you know, on and on down the line. And it's kind of sad because I know that it happened a long ass time ago. Like Mick Foley's son Dewey getting a job with creative is the last like name I remember even remotely in that area, and that was probably longer ago than I really want to remember.
I forgot all about him being on there. That's right. Freddie Prinze Jr., I forgot he was on there.
Just because I've caught some stuff with Freddie Prinze for some reason or another, I did remember that he was there. Or on the staff at some point. Maybe I just heard him on a comedy podcast or something like that and he mentioned it. So, yeah, I did kind of remember that he was there. But, yeah, I mean, there used to be some names out there that were working with them. And not even those names. Like, I still feel like kind of the unknown people that were... And I'm trying to think of someone offhand, but I can't... That was on the writing staff that... Yeah, I guess I don't feel like there are any names out there at this point. So it's just, yeah, it's definitely easy to blame things on Vince and Kevin Dunn at this juncture. Because it, yes. You know, and plus everyone has made it clear that whether you like it or not, the buck stops there. You know? Whether
Yeah, I was trying to think of something else, but yeah, no, yeah, it's exactly right. And it's some people will say it's a successful formula based off the amount of money they run, but yes, financially they're absolutely successful. Creatively, they're just bankrupt. It's if it wasn't live programming, they wouldn't make this much money because it's been very clearly shown that if you have a live event, people tune in directly to it on a weekly basis, daily. The NBA playoffs is killing it. So, I mean, football games kill it. Baseball, no, but come playoffs, yeah. Baseball playoffs do big business. I'm not going to say hockey will, but whatever.
I'll be interested to see, just because the NBA schedule is so much different than the NHL this year, if that helps out the NHL at all. Because usually basketball starts... Usually the basketball finishes up like 2 weeks after hockey. But I feel like it's going to finish up like 2 weeks before hockey now.
Yeah, they're in the semifinals. Or some teams are in the semifinal rounds for basketball, which is pretty nuts because they don't usually finish till June. But then maybe scheduling's been better because they would go, they would have like a game one and then a game two would be 4 days later sometimes. And they're like, two home games in a row. Like, what the hell are you guys doing?
Well, and I didn't completely understand the play-in system, and that was the only reason I knew about it. Brian's wife, Becky, there, is a Cavs fan, so they were watching one of the playoff games in Altoona for Easter. I was like, what? Why is there a playoff game right now? I am so confused. Mm-hmm. But they had some type of play-in system going on this year.
Yeah, like the Hornets here fired their head coach after a 10 game swing this year. They got better by 10 games and they fired him. But they've gotten blown out in the playoff game or play-in game two years in a row.
Oh.
And it's like every year I've been here, they've made the playoff one time. And they got swept. So they had one home game. So that Spectrum Center here just sits empty. So it's like, whatever, with free creative, and it even shows like right now, unless they're giving them a break, they have nothing for Roman Reigns to do. The biggest star in their shows has nothing to do.
Well, and I guess even to stick on the women specifically of NXT for a moment, what's Io Shirai going to do there now? Especially, they're doing that, it's not a Mae Young classic, but oh, it's the breakout star? You're adding that many more women's, like, I know that not all of them are probably going to stick on TV, but more than likely at least a couple of them are. What room is there for Alba Fire, honestly, other than player coach kind of situation and Io Shirai?
Yeah. I have no idea what any of these people are doing. Like, they're pulling over a lot of NXT UK people now. Like, Matt Frazier, Pretty Deadly.
Oh, wasn't it Nathan Frazier?
Or somebody else. Nathan Frazier, sorry, yes, Nathan Frazier.
I got a hoot out of Grayson Waller saying he had a terrible accent.
Yeah, and Grayson Waller's like, I hate people with accents. His accent's annoying. And Tiffany Stratton is like, you know, he does. Like, so that was kind of funny. But
yeah.
And then I saw today that Von Wagner showed up at NXT UK. Along with Gable Stevenson's brother. They sent him over to NXT UK.
Oh. You mean Von Wagner gets a big win on NXT and they ship him over to NXT UK?
Unless it's like a Roderick Strong thing where it was a one-time deal, but it's Von Wagner, so who cares about a one-time deal with him? So, because Roderick Strong was over there to take on, it wasn't Dragunov. It wasn't.
Oh.
He took on somebody over there. So
that has been, I'm kind of interested to see where the whole Roderick Strong thing goes. I'm assuming he's going to get booted out of Diamond Mine here sooner rather than later.
No, when Roderick Strong signed again, just in July or June of last year, I'm guessing he's the player coach.
Oh, yeah. So I don't see him on the main roster.
Like, no, never. But I just don't see him. Well, he'll be called Strong probably. Or Roderick, that'll be it. So, anyways, I don't see him doing anything other than maybe becoming a Timothy Thatcher, going behind the scenes, and then just letting his contract run out.
Oh.
He never wins a big match. So it's hard to take someone seriously like that. Kind of like Lance Archer in AEW.
Oh.
It's an abrupt shift, but Lance Archer in AEW has been weird. So,
well, he's in that spot where Big Show was at, like, later in his career, where you just keep on using him to job to people to get them over. But once you've jobbed to, like, everyone on the roster, it's like, what do you do? And especially with the level of ass-kicking that he got from Wardlow, like, how do you come back from that?
That was shocking to me. Yes. That was shocking. I know they're trying to make Wardlow out to be a badass. Cool. You did. At the expense of Lance Archer.
Yeah. Yeah. It's wild. Like, I really think that Lance Archer is definitely one of those guys that I'm like, oh, I kind of bagged on him even when I saw him in New Japan when we first started kind of watching that. I don't know, probably 6 years ago or something like that at this point. And then I kind of grew to like him after that. And yeah, like, he's just lugging around Jake the Snake.
Yeah. All right, gang. I'm going to take over for Kevin.
So, oh.
If you can't tell, the Steelers pick is in, so we're going to see who this is. But yeah, Lance Archer was... He had a choice of going to NXT, WWE, or going to AEW. And when he chose AEW, I was like, that's the better pick. Well, I don't know. Like, he's 45, which I didn't know.
Oh.
Yeah, so I don't... He would have been cut anyways.
Yeah, he was despite anything that's happening in AEW, it was the better choice. You know,
yes. Especially financially, because, you know, he wasn't going to get... I'm going to guess he wasn't getting the money he would for NXT. And... we're going to pause here for a second, folks. So, the Steelers selection at number 20. Is that Franco Harris?
Franco Harris loves being up there. It's unfortunate.
Does he know he's up there?
Maybe. He's still defending Jopa.
I actually don't. Oh, fuck him then.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, I don't know if he has something wrong with him. I shouldn't be making fun of him. But if he's perfectly healthy, oh, fuck that guy.
Yeah, and you couldn't help me out with, like...
He's standing next to you the whole time. He's knocking on your hands, like, stop it.
Oh.
Good pick, Franco.
Yeah, by the way, I did time one of these things, and the pick is in popped up, and it was almost... It was like 3 minutes and 45 seconds between it popping up on the screen and when the announcement was actually made.
Oh, boy. You got him.
Oh my gosh.
He just gets to move his locker from one side of the stadium to the other.
Holy smokes. Kenny Pickett doomed. Going to the Steelers.
He is doomed.
Yes, he is.
He's taking it over for Ben Roethlisberger. He went to Pitt. He's got all the pressure of the world on him. How, Mike Tomlin was like, "You want to waste our pick? All right, yeah, let's take this guy." I'm not. It's not an indictment of his talent. It doesn't matter. He's screwed.
Wow, QB1 goes to the Steelers. Wow. This was a scenario I was not expecting. But I was like, how did that... If they would have drafted Malik Willis, it would have been so awkward. Like, I couldn't have... Like, poor Kenny Pickett, if that's what would have happened, it would have been like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they're taking him. Over Pickett. Oh my gosh.
Well, I guess somebody have Mason Rudolph, him, and good old Mr. Trubisky.
Yeah. Yeah. Gonna be quite a playoffs or quarterback situation for the Steelers here now. Oh boy, Mitch Trubisky wondering if he should have signed with the Steelers now.
Well, I'm sure those dollar signs, he's like, yeah, I'm a fine time.
Oh yeah, so. Yeah, he's still financially secure.
And New England immediately trades their pick. Are they seriously talking about that guy's hand still?
Oh what my gosh.
Weird league this is. I mean... Anyways, hey, alright, so let's get back to nothing. Like, he held the football like this, and all of a sudden he'll throw it like, shut up. It looks like he could throw the ball just fine. Is the ball different between college and pros? No. Shut the fuck up. Alright, so anyways. I remember, right, real quick, I remember Dusty a long time ago was telling me that, like, the combine in the NFL is basically like modern day slavery. And I was like, and I'm going to get it wrong, but he made a very compelling argument outside of the whole, you know, not torture and paying people thing.
They just
parade these people around, judge their size. Can they, how tall are they?
It's a human dog show.
Yeah. And then, you know, just grill them psychologically. Oh, and I went, oh, you're kind of onto something, I guess. And that's what this is, you know, his thumb only extends 2 inches where the modern thumb extends 3. Ugh. There's fucking Mel Kiper. Yep. Anyways. But yeah, no, so Lance Archer just... I don't know. I don't get it. He never wins the big match. He crushes people every time else. But I don't know where he fits. And that was a substantial, you got your ass kicked lost.
Oh, yeah. Because not only did he get the symphony, they decided, they're like, you know what? This is the week that that Wardlow's going to break out a fourth power bomb.
Yeah. Now, the thing is, and this is a credit to him, he did not sandbag one of those power bombs.
Oh. And
the last one, he gave some torque. Wardlow barely had to do anything.
Yeah, Lance Archer is still a champion in my book. Like, I mean, yeah, you can't do anything with him, but yeah, like, he could have tried to be a dick about things and was not at all. Wardlow's a guy for me that has started to turn the corner as far as... I guess I've liked him, but not completely seen the push coming to this point. That match against Lance Archer was probably his best match.
Yeah, oh yeah, he was great. He's flying all over the head scissors into the Hurricanrana, just taking him down. Like, whoa, where did he get those ups? That was crazy.
Yeah, that was the easy one to pull from the match, and it. But yeah, I mean, it has been nice, and maybe it's just because he's finally gotten to consistently wrestle here. I do think that that's probably helped. He just didn't. He wrestled previously, but he didn't really wrestle that often. You know, I feel like he'd wrestle a match as the heavy for MJF, and then you wouldn't see him wrestle for another couple of weeks. But with this whole breakup with MJF saga going on, he's been on TV more, and I think that's helped him out some, too. Like, I almost didn't feel like he was a wrestler sometimes.
And they just went away from it, so. But, yeah, that was definitely his best match. Now, and this is so weird to say, because a couple years ago, we were like, whatever. The MJF interview later, where he calls someone, says, hey, do you want to make six figures for one match? And then he goes, he's bigger than you, he's taller than you, and you can't teach that. And I was like, wait, what? You're not watching Impact that much.
Oh.
So you just got to take my word for it. Morrissey, Big Kaz XL, is not the same person he was in WWE. He's really good. He's a good big man. His promos are really good. He's believable. He's not as soft as he used to look. He's gotten himself in shape. I mean, obviously we all know his problems.
Oh. Yeah.
So, I mean, he's obviously going to lose, which is kind of intriguing. Why Impact would let, unless he's not signed with Impact, but why he would leave Impact to go lose on national TV to a much bigger audience. But,
oh.
You know, the redemption story of sorts of this is pretty remarkable. I mean, he was a gigantic drunk and whatever else in WWE, which is why he got fired.
Yeah.
And then nearly drank himself to death at that House of Hardcore show, if I remember that correctly. Gets help, gets mental help that he needed, goes to Impact and has been tearing it up.
Yeah.
And now here he is, he's going to be on TBS next week. That's crazy. It's just great for him.
Yeah. Yeah, when MJF did that, I was just like, oh man, that's kind of like, I guess I had known that you talked about him making a comeback there on Impact.
Yes.
And it was just like, wow, that's how far we've gotten with this, that he's, you know, gotten things around enough that he's going to be the mystery opponent for Wardlow. The not so mystery opponent that everyone knew the moment MJF said those lines, because we know it's not Enzo.
Yeah, which is kind of funny because that was Enzo's thing. He was the one that said it, not Big Cass.
Yeah, and I guess that's it. I'm not surprised that he's an okay promo. I guess I didn't think. He just always seemed to take the back seat to Enzo.
Well, because Enzo was the charisma. There was no way around it, regardless of what anyone thinks of him.
Oh, right.
I mean, Enzo was charisma out the ass, so.
Yeah, he was definitely the charisma. But I do think that he was still a decent promo, Cass was, back in the day. He didn't have to carry anything ever, so it's hard to completely rate him, I suppose.
Yeah.
You know, but he was still pretty good. At least in his segments.
Yeah, but no, that was...
Yeah.
even after like that, that whole decimation of Lance Archer, they still have to. They still made something intriguing, you know. So I thought that was pretty successful because AEW was a good show last night. But whatever, like I don't know.
You know, one thing that I'm kind of interested on your take, I saw, and I don't have the tweet pulled up exactly, but Cam was talking about it being nice that that AEW treats their secondary titles well. Yeah. The TNT Championship headlines the Dynamite. I do think there is something that's nice about that. We've thought about both the IC and I've definitely thought about the US and IC titles interchangeably. And they haven't been featured in ages.
No.
You know, it is kind of nice, right, and now. I was pretty happy. Like, to me, Scorpio Sky getting that win, I'm like, oh. Because everything did not take place on a major show for him, honestly. Like, he can talk about his 400-day winning streak all he wants to. I think about two of those 402 days took place on Dynamite. So it didn't right. really happen. I think it was good for him to get a win there on national TV.
Okay, here's the thing. I'm totally confused why this went down the way it did. Scorpio comes in as a bad guy, cheats to win the title. Sammy Guevara, whose only crime is him and Taya Conte are hooking up, and they're acting like people in Young Love.
Which is really awkward for 30-year-olds, but...
Yeah, well, he's 30, she's what, 25?
26. He's
pretty young still, yeah. But then Scorpio and Dan Lambert and Ethan Page, who have done absolutely nothing to make people cheer them, are now being cheered for the sole fact they don't like Sammy Guevara now for whatever reason.
Because he's with the hot woman.
Yeah, but then, like, Scorpio wins it back, and I just went, why? Like, I'm confused. Like, the whole turn of events is weird to me.
I mean, I feel like we've talked about it. It's been really bizarre to see this whole... I do think that Dan Lambert actually cuts a better babyface promo than he does heel promo.
Yep.
I feel like he just was trying too hard to be heel guy. And that's what I never bought into him for. Like, he said all of the tropes of a heel. And I think that was kind of the problem. Is it was just all of, like, the heel tropes. And it's just like, dude, like, you need to have those points in there to make yourself a heel, but don't be so dogmatic about what that promo. And he just seems to be cutting loose as a babyface promo, which is weird. Like, I actually think that it's a good thing, I suppose.
Scorpio Sky's gonna give. Wait, what was the line he said? Paige VanZant's gonna give you the pounding you wish you could get from your boyfriend. That's a heel line, but it's still pretty funny. Either way, that cracked me up.
Yes.
But no, it's like, especially when you know like how much of a wrestling fan Dan Lambert actually is. Like that whole story of Cody Rhodes, where he gave. Like Cody Rhodes, his dad, like Dusty Rhodes' NWA title or whatever it was. Why are you giving this to me? He's like, I just thought you should have it. Like, that's the respect he actually has for wrestling. So, I don't know. Because he was always a bad guy, though. Even in Impact, he was a bad guy. Like, American Top Team were the bad guys in Impact because he had Bobby Lashley on his team.
Oh.
So it's weird to see him in a face role.
Yeah, it is wild how...
It's unwarranted.
Huh?
Like, what has Scorpio Sky, Dan Lambert, and Ethan Page done to become good guys?
Oh, or nothing.
Page fans have for that reason.
Absolutely
not
nothing.
Damn thing.
Yeah, change promo styles. That's about it. And yeah, just Sammy Guevara being more annoying than them is essentially what happened.
Wasn't Sammy Guevara a heel in the independents? Wasn't he the annoying guy with the vlog and shit? And then he was a bad guy in the Inner Circle.
He seems to play a better bad guy.
Yes, he looks obnoxious. Absolutely.
Yeah, I will say that, like, I don't know if they intended for this to go this way, but they, with this week's show, I felt like they really leaned into it. And that's why I was kind of wondering, I'm like, oh man, is Sammy going to retain just to be and continue to be annoying?
Are you watching the draft?
Yes, I am still watching. I don't know why there's a... probably... I don't know why there's a man dressed up in German male lederhosen and doing four hula hoops.
To an audience of no one.
Yes.
I thought I'm seeing things. No. I wasn't. Oh my god, the Cowboys draft room. Hey, is that the Emperor Palpatine? Oh my god.
Jesus. Oh man.
I guess we should get out of here. This show's been a goddamn wreck. Nothing to come with.
Sure, why not?
We really have.
Bell Time Beer on my end. Where was the label there? Allegheny City Brewing. It's their Allegheny City Volume 2 First Street Imperial Stout, 10.1% alcohol. It makes sense. Pittsburgh shirt on, Pittsburgh beer. Quarterback from Pittsburgh, now in the fold for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Hey, it was quite a night for at Frango 11 here, so cheers to that. Were you drinking anything on your end at Granny Mae's?
Yes. We're starting to clean the fridge out, so I was drinking another Sugar Creek Brewing Company, my buddy Joe's place. The Sugar Cookie Holiday Ale. Yes, Christmas beer. I think I sent you one, actually.
Yeah, I am saving that for Christmas in July.
Okay.
I have some Christmas beers left specifically for Christmas in July.
Okay. Yeah, it's still really good. I had two of them, which is why I kind of got kind of goofy at the end. So. Yeah. So well, yeah. So there's that. But yeah, Granny Mae's. It's on Twitter, whatever.
Yeah.
Elon Musk has come in to say Twitter. That's good.
Yeah. At Stunt Granny, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any other number of locations, whether it's Spotify, IR Radio, Stitcher, or Google. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later, gang.